Hi, I'm Di Sansom. I work in the Workplace English Language and Literacy Program. Up in Fitzroy Crossing, we have a project working in the aged care facility there, Gwadi Nadu, and our aim is to assist the care staff who look after the old people to develop their reading and writing skills so that they can document and record the changes and the care needs of the old people.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on, Di, whereabouts is Fitzroy Crossing?
Fitzroy Crossing's remote West Australia up in the Kimberley. Beautiful country, very traditional people and lots of different groups and communities within the region.
Tell me about some of the people you work with.
The care staff at the aged care facility are Indigenous people from a variety of language groups, and they look after the old people, who many of them are real traditional Aboriginal people who have come in from the desert. There's a couple of the old ladies who were supposed to be the last that came in from the desert into the town of Fitzroy. The facility is very Indigenous. The men like to be looked after by male carers, and the women like to be looked after by female carers. And in aged care these days, staff need to be able to document. So there's a problem with the facility. They need to be able to prove that they're recording and keeping appropriate records to look after the old people, and they get audited on those, on their record keeping as well. So part of my job is to go up there and help the carers to do the documentation, make sure the documentation system is appropriate to their needs and not terribly westernised. And, of course, a lot of the staff are not confident writing because it's not really been something they've had to do over the years. So the WELL program allows me to go up there, live on site at the facility, develop training resources that help them to document, prompts so that they can use those so that they can do the paperwork. And very fortunately, in Fitzroy Crossing, there's an adult education centre called Gariiri, who has assisted, and we've sort of linked together so that they will be able to take over when I leave. You know, I'm sort of like just I'm there for the time being, mm-hmm. but Gariiri has been there forever and is a very strong community training organisation. So mm-hmm. we've linked together so that they will be able to carry on mm-hmm. and make sure that there's ongoing support for these people in their learning their writing skills.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges for these people as they come into the facility?
Look, it's very culturally appropriate. It's a beautiful facility. The old people, I guess when they can't be looked after in their own communities, they come into the facility where they are, you know, fed, looked after, beds changed, all that sort of stuff. So for the old people, there's not, I guess the worst thing for them is to leave their family, but their family can come and visit, and the facility actually does take the older people out back to their communities, back for funerals and family occasions. If they're able to still be mobile. So the old people are actually very well looked after, and it's culturally appropriate. You know, the care staff are Indigenous people. They all know their family. They know their brothers and sisters and the aunties of all the old people. So it's a real family type setup. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility and a lovely area.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tasks we did was for the care staff was to gather the stories of the old people. So it was a literacy task that they had to get the information, develop the story and record it in writing so that for the old people, they're not just looked at as, you know, they have dementia or they have Parkinson's or whatever, but they have a whole history that comes with them to the facility. So the story was about, you know, where they came from, their family, their country, what they did when they were younger. So a lot of the care staff develop those stories, and that's part of the record of the individual when they come in, that they actually come in with a history and a life story. So that was one of the things we did in order to develop the literacy skills. Some of the care staff, when I first arrived, didn't want to. They were worried about writing and taking part in training and very nervous of their level of ability to write. The project takes over 12 months. So over a 12-month period, I was there for sort of 3 weeks at a time. And we linked in with, as I said, Gariiri. So some of these carers, we went to Gariiri and we used the computers. So some of the carers were using computers to write up stories. For the first time, they sort of were able to use modern technology, modern communication equipment. And over the period of 12 months, you saw the confidence develop. So couple of the carers have now completed a certificate in aged care, certificate 3 in aged care, which wouldn't have been something that they would have ever dreamt that they were able to do. But with a bit of support from Gary Ely, myself, the manager and the other staff in the facility, and quite a lot of support from there's an aged care network up there that supports them to access further training and education. Mm-hmm. So,
what's the role of Indigenous language in this context?
Indigenous language, most of it's like a Creole. They speak this, and I'm talking now about the care staff. The care staff speak sort of a Creole. They would speak one of their languages. There's about there's a number of languages there, but there's Wurundjeri and Gunian, and there's various languages that they can speak. Some of the old people speak the language only with limited English. And, of course, as they become more demented, they sort of go back to their home language. So the care staff are able to communicate with them in their appropriate home language. Most of the care staff would speak some sort of, certainly English, but with a bit of Creole.
I guess it's important to value those languages other than English.
When they're doing their paperwork, their documentation, one could be particularly critical and say that's not proper grammar, but it's not important. All we're really wanting for them to do is to be able to write confidently about what's happening. And because so long as you can understand it makes sense, that's all we're really wanting. So, you know, that pedantic English grammar is not an approach that we use at all.
What gives you the greatest joy in what you do?
I just love people to realise that they can learn and appreciate learning and get a buzz out of learning and knowledge and learning new skills and then applying them. Banking is a nightmare in the remote regions, but once they acquired computer skills, they could then access their bank accounts via the computer, which was a real buzz, particularly for one of the carers who was quite anti having any sort of education. He was never going to use a computer. But after a period of 6 months, when he saw other people using computers and saw what you could do with them, he now accesses his bank details over the internet, which is, just a buzz. I guess one of the things that I think is very important with education is that when you're educating people, it must be something that they want to learn, they need to learn. Rather than imposing you have to do this, to try and find a way so that they are wanting to get more knowledge, that they are wanting to be able to do, they are wanting to learn. And I think we too rarely ask, what do you want to learn? You know, what do you need in your life? Certainly up in the remote regions, things like birth certificates, getting a driver's license, things that we take for granted in the cities is very difficult to do. And particularly when you don't have high levels of reading, writing skills, or even to be able to sit on the phone and speak to bureaucracy about how do I go about getting a birth certificate. So even that sort of finding out from the individual first what they want and what they need in their life and using that as a springboard into learning how to do it, how to go about it, how to fill in the forms, how to pass your driver's test. And I think that's sort of life-changing stuff when suddenly they realise, you know, there's something in this for me. And they start saying, I want to do this. And that's, I think, when you've hit it nail on the head.
No matter what age we're at.
Doesn't matter what age. No, not at all.
Di Sampson, thank you for talking to Learning Works.
My pleasure. Thank you.